Amen. So today we're going to talk about
the authority of the believer.
Amen.
And this is really a great topic because we Christians, we need to know our authority in Christ Jesus. Okay? And as we know from Scripture, God has given us authority as believers, as God's children. We have authority. Remember that in the Garden of Eden, Adam gave the enemy his authority. Authority that God had given him, he gave it away to the enemy. And that was lost then. But when the Lord Jesus Christ came, was born, lived life, did ministry, died for our sins, resurrected, he took back that authority. And today, those who say yes to the Lord have that same authority. We today, believers, have authority, dominion, and power because it was taken back by Jesus. And then he has gifted us with that same power. Amen? So we have authority and dominion and power over all the works of the enemy. All, not some, all the works of the enemy. And let me tell you, the enemy is constantly trying to bring us down because the Word of God says in John 10:10 that the enemy doesn't come but to steal, destroy, and kill. The purpose that God has for your life. Amen. So God has given us the authority as believers. And in order to address this, we're going to have to deal not only with the authority we have, but the authority of Satan. Amen. Because Satan has power, and he's got power to deceive us. Amen. But the Word of God says he can only try. But unless you open that door and let him in, he will not succeed. So it's really up to us. That's why it's so key to know our identity in Christ and know who we are in him. Amen? And many Christians have led, and this is, I don't know if everybody read the lesson, but I'm reading from the lesson too. Christians have been led to believe, right, that we are fighting a being whose power is superior or more powerful to ours. And that's not the case. You know the enemy is this small? This small. You know that when he sees you, he runs? Because he sees that we have been sealed by the Spirit of God. He sees. When he sees us, he should be seeing a daughter or a son of Christ. Amen? Because we were made in his image. Amen? And so it goes on. That's not what the scripture teaches at all, right? Ephesians 6:12. Let's go there. Let's go to the book of Ephesians 6:12. Because it talks about the power and the full armor that we have in Christ and who we are fighting against. So I'm going to go to the New King James Version because the lesson uses King James. And I like to go to this one better. Ephesians 6:12. This is what it says. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Right? So Satan, in these verses, is a factor. He does exist, the Word of God says, right? He has a hierarchy, right, of principalities, of powers that we're dealing with right now. Even as we speak, some spirits are around us. You don't know. You walk into somebody's house, you don't know. You may not be able to see them, but sometimes they're around. They're testing you. The Word of God says they go from to and fro. They want to see who's the weak one. Who's the weak one in this house, right? So he has an hierarchy of principalities behind him. But in the verse just before to this one, it says that we have to stand against the wiles of the devil. The only power Satan really has against us is deception. He doesn't have power to just overcome us unless we give him that power, right? So we go to Ephesians, right? 10 and 11, why don't we read those? It says, Ephesians 6:10, it says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the enemy." You know, and standing is standing, meaning when you stand against something, you know who you are in Christ. When you stand against the enemy, you better know your identity in Christ. He cannot touch you. You hear me? He cannot grab hold of you unless you open the door.
Give him permission.
That's right. This is why I can't say it enough. And the reason why I repeat myself is because it took me over 50 years, right? In my 50s was when I really learned that I have a believer's authority. I really learned my identity in Christ. I didn't know that. Nobody explained it to me well enough to understand it. I get it now, and this is why I'm so passionate about teaching others. No, say no to Satan. You have authority. You have the full armor. It's in you already. You have Christ in you. You are a soldier, a warrior for Christ. You have authority. You have dominion. You have power. Amen? It says in Genesis 3, it says, we see that when the first temptation came against Adam and Eve, right? Remember the story, right? Satan didn't come with some superior force. For instance, instead of inhabiting, right, a mammoth or an elephant, putting his foot on Adam's head, threatening them, and saying, "Serve me or else," he inhabited a snake.
Yep.
The most subtle creature God made. The word subtle means sly, deceptive, or cunning. So the reason Satan came through the snake was because he really didn't have the power. Listen to this. He really didn't have the power to force Adam and Eve to do anything. You see, they made a choice because God gives us free will. We have free will to choose whether we're going to stand on God's word or we're not. Or we're going to fall in front of the enemy. Mm-hmm. We have a choice. So he can only deceive, right? He came against the nature and character of God and began, right, this is what it's saying, to criticize God, saying God doesn't really love you. This is what he's telling Adam, God doesn't really love you. He's holding things back from you, he told Eve. He used deception to tempt Adam and Eve to sin against God. They were the ones who had all the authority because God gave it to them. He gave it to man. And the reason Satan had to do it this way was because he didn't have the power to come against God. So he had to fool Adam and Eve. He had to come up with something to deceive them. And they fell right into his deception.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah, that's it.
So one of the points that the writer here in this lesson is trying to make, that we have to recognize that Satan has zero, listen to me, zero power and authority over you. He is a defeated foe. He is under our feet. Again, his only power against you is to come against you with lies and deception. The Word of God says that he is the father of lies. If your life is being destroyed, You can say Satan is the one who is firing these shots at me. But you're the one, listen to this, you're the one who's giving him the ammunition.
Yeah.
You're falling right into his hands. You're the one who has to respond to his lies and deception. We have the word of God. We can respond against his, I guess his shots, the shots he's, or the darts that he's throwing at us,
darts,
right?
Yeah. Fiery darts.
Exactly. Look, let's go to, here it says 2 Corinthians, right? Let's go to verse 10. Let's go to verses 3 and 5. And again, I'm going to go to my... my Bible, 2 Corinthians 10, 3 to 5, for though we walk in the flesh, right, we do not war according to the flesh, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. So these scriptures, they're talking about the weapons of your warfare, and every weapon mentioned refers to what? Your mind. This is where everything begins, right here, your mind. Dealing with your thoughts. This is why Romans 12, right, 2 says we need to renew our minds. We cannot be conformed to the way the world thinks, but we have to renew our minds through the word of God. Again, Satan doesn't have the power to do anything to you except through deception. Amen?
Amen.
And so he's summarizing some things here. In the beginning, right, God, of course, had all authority. All power and authority has to emanate from God because he is the only one who has power in himself. Everything else is delegated from him. When he created the heavens and the earth, he had all power and authority. Then in Genesis 1:26, when God created Adam and Eve, he said, let them have dominion over all the earth, right? So I just want to go there because, again, I want to go to my version, and I don't want to skip any wording. Genesis 1:26, it says, then God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God gave full dominion, right?
Yeah.
Hallelujah. So when we put that together, let's go to Psalm 115. Let's go to Psalm 115, 16. Psalm 115, let's see. Psalm 115, 16, it says, the heaven, even the heavens are the Lord's, but the earth he has given to the children of men. You see that? He gave Adam authority. And because we are his sons and daughters, because we are his, because we say yes to his son Jesus, now he has given us that authority because Adam lost it in the Garden of Eden. Amen. So God had ownership of everything by right of being the creator. He gave dominion or authority over the earth to physical human beings like Adam. And today is us.
Right.
Satan has never had the right and power to rule over the earth. He took it through deceiving man to sin. but God, right? But God. God gave that power to mankind when man fell. He yielded his God-given authority and power over to the devil. So Satan was never given the power by God to oppress man the way he does today, right? Or to rule this earth. It was never given to him by God. Adam did.
Mm-hmm. Adam gave him the power.
Okay? So scripture does not, scripture does say that Satan is the god of this world, right? But it's not because God gave him the god of this world. God never put Satan in a position above man. He never did that. He gave Adam, right, dominion and authority over the earth. The only reason Satan has ever been able to oppress, dominate, or cause the problems he does is because people yield, give Satan permission, yield their God-given authority to him.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, if you give him an inch, he's going to take a yard. That's the reality. You open that door, he's going to walk right in. He's going to tempt you, and if you go after that temptation, you're going to fall.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to fall hard. Okay? So this posed a real problem for God because he is a spirit. And he gave authority over this earth to physical human beings. Only people who have physical bodies have the authority and power to rule and exercise influence in this earth. That is us. That is us. We are human beings. We were created in God's image and likeness. And that's, to me, that's a gift. That's a gift to be able to fight against dark principalities. Against Satan himself, because he's coming to kill, steal, and destroy our lives and our families' lives. That's what he does best. And we cannot allow that any longer. We got to say, no, nope. You stop right there. We command you. Get out, you know? Right? So, Satan, right, has come to us and get us to yield our authority to him. That's the reason that he likes to inhabit a body. And what that means is like Satan likes to oppress people. Okay? He likes to oppress them. He likes to make you believe his lies. Because that's what Satan does best. So in scripture, right? Demons have to have a body, right, to possess, because Satan can't do anything unless he is using a physical human body to work through. Remember scripture, how that, I forgot what verse, I think it's the Gospel of John, but in scripture, there was a boy that was oppressed by the devil, right? And the father went to the disciples, and those disciples couldn't deliver this boy.
No, they beat the disciples up.
You know, and you know, for me, I truly believe that it was when the boy started convulsing and stuff, I think the disciples allowed their eyesight, their five senses to get into fear. I said, whoa, I don't think we can deal with this, right? And so they couldn't cast out the demonic spirit from this little boy. So the father spoke to the Lord Jesus, and Jesus cast him out right away. But if you have unbelief, any type of unbelief, you're gonna relinquish your power to the enemy. You're not gonna be able to do anything, because what happens, unbelief and faith cannot, nothing happens. When you have faith, but when unbelief comes against it, it nullifies your faith and nothing happens. And that's why the disciples couldn't deliver this little boy from this demonic spirit. The Lord had to do it.
Didn't Jesus tell his disciples that some things come through fasting and praying?
For me, I really believe that the reason was that he says, yes, prayer, yes, but fasting, the reason why, remember when the Lord went to the Garden of Gethsemane and he was praying, and he invited the disciples to pray with him, and they fell asleep. And the reason why he wanted those disciples to pray was because, you know, he knew they were going to be tempted. He knew what was going to happen. Look at how Peter fell. He was tempted, and he fell, and he compromised his life. Mm-hmm. So when we fast, it's, at least I truly believe that when we fast, it's to really build ourselves up and edify ourselves in the Word so we can stand when the enemy comes against us. So we're not fooled by the five senses.
So when Jesus said to them, some things only come by fasting and praying, he meant that they need to empower themselves more so the next time they come against something like this,
yes,
they can overcome it.
And take away the unbelief.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's what it was. It wasn't to cast demons, it was for yourself.
Okay.
Because again, unbelief, when you come against faith, nothing happens. But the minute your faith overpowers unbelief and your mind has to yield to the Word of God, then that faith will move mountains. That faith will cast out the demonic spirits. Because you're bringing it over unbelief. You're not allowing unbelief to even enter into your mind. You know what I mean? So that fasting for that particular verse is to really equip you and really edify you that nothing that comes against you ain't going to stop you. It's not going to stop you because you know who you are. You know the authority that you have in Christ.
Right.
Yeah. Right? So here we have here in Scripture, demons have to have a body, right, to possess, because Satan can't do it, can't do anything unless he's using a physical human body to work through. So because God is the Spirit, like we read before, and has given authority to physical human beings, now in a sense, he has his hands tied, right? It isn't because God doesn't have power and authority, but because of the Lord's integrity. He gave authority to human beings, right? Physical human beings, and to be true to his own word. He can't just take it back and say, this isn't the way I wanted it. Time out. Stop. We're going to do it over. No. God bound himself by his own word throughout history. He looked for someone he could flow through, right? But the problem was that all men were corrupted and had yielded themselves to Satan. So what was God to do? Mm-hmm. Right? So what God finally did was come to the earth himself and became a man.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yep.
God, you know, we know God the Father, he literally just robed himself and became man. And he said, nope, this man cannot have any sin. Has to be sinless, has to be born of a Virgin Mary, you know, of a virgin person, amen, female person to carry Jesus. And this is really powerful. If we can understand this, you know, this miracle that took place.
Yeah.
And because when this took place, now the enemy knew he was in big trouble. He had been using mankind's power, and God couldn't intervene directly to solve all these problems because man was willfully, they were making choices, willfully, legally yielding his God-given authority to Satan. That's what Adam did and Eve did. So we know that Satan,
free will, God wouldn't step in like that.
Exactly. Exactly. We know that. Yep. Exactly. So Satan was wrong, right, in what he did, but man, Adam, gave him the authority and power that was theirs to give. But now here came God, and he was no longer only the spirit, but now he was in the form of physical flesh. And this put the devil in a bad place, in a bad situation, because God not only had authority in heaven, but becoming a man gave him authority on the earth. So let's go to the Gospel of John. Let's go to John 5, verses 26 and 27. John 5, verses 26 and 27, it says, "For as the Father hath life in himself, so he has granted the Son," that is the Lord Jesus, "to have life in himself, and hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man." Wow, right? So he was here in these verses, he's referring to his physical form, his physical body. Jesus came and exercised his God-given authority. It was God the Father that gave him the authority. And we know the devil tempted him, right?
Yep.
Jesus never yielded to Satan. Satan lost in every battle with him. And Jesus took our sins. He died for them. Went to hell, right? We know this from Scripture. He went to hell. He rose again and said in Matthew 28:18, which we all know this, "All authority is given unto me in heaven and in earth." So he took back. He won back the authority that God had given to Adam, to mankind, which Adam misused and man misused, and as God in the flesh, Jesus now had all authority in heaven and in earth.
Yes.
And in the very next verse, he said, "Now you go and you do these things," right? Let's go to Matthew 18, because I know it says a lot more than that, right? Mm-hmm. I'd rather read it from Scripture. Matthew 28:18. The Great Commission, right? Mm-hmm. And it says, in 18 it says, "And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Amen. Right? So all authority has been given to mankind now. Those who accept the Lord Jesus. Right? And he even says that, "I'm going to be with you." Like, there's nothing for us to worry about. God is with us. It is his power. It's not our power, but it's the power of God in us that we can exercise through Christ and come against the enemy.
Amen.
So he's giving us the power, and he's actually sharing his power with us. This is why we need to become his partners. We need to partner with God. Because when we partner with God, you know, we become the vessel and a conduit for his power to flow through us.
Amen.
Amen. Mm-hmm. So this time, however, there's a unique difference in the authority, right, that God has given back to us as believers. It is joint authority between us and the Lord Jesus Christ. It's no longer given to us solely as it was to Adam and Eve. They could give the authority away, allow the devil to oppress them, and basically be hopeless. But today, right now, our authority is shared with the Lord Jesus Christ. It's like having a joint bank account, the lesson says. This is funny. I love these lessons. It's like having a joint bank account that requires both signatures, right, in order to cash a check. Our authority is shared with the Lord, right? And His authority is shared with the church.
Yes.
Amen. We, as a church, we should be seeing miracles, signs, and wonders. Week after week, we have the power, we have the ability, we have everything that we need. We have the Lord.
Right.
We are fully equipped. So it says, although we may fail, right, God is never again going to sign this authority over to the devil. It's a done deal. When the Lord Jesus said, "It is finished," it was completely finished. And we have to understand as believers that Satan is absolutely powerless. We need to know that. We need to chew on that. Satan has absolutely no authority, dominion, or power over us. He has no ability to do anything in your life or my life except what he deceives you in, or me, or what we voluntarily yield to or give him permission to do. So you may give him authority in your life. You may suffer personally for it. But the God-given authority that was given to man will never again pass solely to the devil. Never again. It is now shared between us and the Lord Jesus Christ. And God will remain faithful regardless. Regardless. So we need to recognize that you're the one who now has authority and the power. Satan, the enemy, the devil, is fighting you and I right here with thoughts. This is the battlefield right here, our mind. It's a battle. It's every day. It's an everyday struggle. Every day, the mind wants to do its own thing. Our mind wants to deceive us. Our mind wants to have power over us, and we cannot allow it. So Satan is fighting you and I with thoughts, right? And your weapons are such that you can take these thoughts, like we read before, captive. We can bind them. We can command them to go. We can rebuke them, right? We can put them under our feet. And we need to recognize these thoughts. You can recognize that it's wrong for the devil to oppress you, right, physically, and find out what the scripture has to say about healing. Right? John 8:32 says, and we all should know this scripture, "You will know the truth, and the truth will make you free." Right? Another scripture says that people perish, die for lack of knowledge. See, and it's saying that because we die spiritually when we don't know the word of God. This is why it's so important to be in the Word, know the Word, meditate on the Word, right? Because the Word of God says it is His Word. When you know His Word, you are, in John 8:31, right? When you know His Word, you are truly His disciple, and then you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. It is the Word. It's not just knowing truth. It's knowing the truth of the Word of God that will make you free. You're the one who has the power and authority. God already gave it to you. And the only thing that keeps you from exercising it is that you haven't yet taken your thoughts captive. This is why you need to know when the enemy tells you you are powerless. The enemy tells you that, you guys said, no, I'm not. I have the power of the Most High God. I am His daughter. I am His son. God has given me the authority, power, and dominion to come against you. And you know what? Satan, I bind you and I rebuke you. Get out of here. Get out of my face right now in Jesus' name. Like, you got to talk to him that way. You can't be afraid. You got to use your mouth. You got to talk out loud. If you begin to say within, guess what? He can't hear you. Only God can hear your thoughts.
Right.
The enemy cannot hear your thoughts. This is why it has to be spoken out loud. Just like the Lord Jesus came against Satan when Satan tempted him in the wilderness, the Lord Jesus says, it is written. It is written. And he used the Word of God, to come against his lies, his deception. So we have the power. We have the authority. God has given it to you and me. So we got to, whatever thoughts you have here that are not aligned to the Word of God, you got to take them captive and let them loose. Let them go. Come against them.
Yeah.
You haven't used these spiritual weapons to renew your mind and to realize what you have when you're not taking your thoughts captive. You gotta use your spiritual weapon. You gotta use the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. You have to use the Word to renew your mind so you can take these thoughts captive. And isn't it great to know that we as believers, as sons and daughters of God, we have full, not some, full authority over the enemy. We have power. We have authority. We have dominion over the foolish things that the enemy tries to come against us with. And again, remember, we're not fighting against flesh and blood. You're not fighting against people. You're fighting against the spirit behind that person. There's many people around us, even in our own families, that are currently oppressed by the enemy. Even within our church, there are people that are being oppressed by the enemy. And sometimes they don't even know that. But the enemy will try to come against you, the one who's standing strong on the Word, to see if you will fall. To see if you will fall on his bait. To see if you will follow through on his temptation. That's what the enemy tries to do. He wants you to fall. He wants you to sin. He wants to put you down. He wants to condemn you. He wants to shame you. He wants to put guilt on you. But remember that none of that is of God. When God sees you, guess what? God is spirit. So when God sees you, he sees your spirit, which is perfect in his eyes. Because when he sees you, he sees the Lord Jesus. He sees his son. You were made in his image. Your identity is in Christ Jesus. He doesn't look at your mind. He doesn't look at your body. He looks at how perfect you are through his son. And if we can get that revelation, if you don't understand it, ask the Lord to reveal that truth to you. Because that's the truth that will make you free. That's the truth that will say to you, you are a soldier for Christ. You are fully armored by his word. You have all the full armor of God. You got the shield. You got the helmet. You got everything. Fully armored. Just read Ephesians 6:12-17. You are fully armed to come against Satan. Fully. And the most powerful thing that you have is the Word. Is the Word of God. This is why it's so important for you to know the Word. Because that's why you're going to fight against Satan with the Word. When people come around and they're being oppressed by the enemy, they don't know that. But man, you begin to speak and maybe you may even have to whisper. And the enemy has to go in the name of Jesus. Because you're not fighting against family members. You're not fighting against flesh and blood. You're fighting against the spirit that's behind it. But we have authority to cast that spirit out in Jesus' name.
Amen.
You just cannot have any unbelief. Unbelief will cancel your faith, will nullify it. It's not going to get rid of your faith because your faith is there. God has given you a measure of faith just like He's given us the same measure of faith. Your faith is there. Your faith is there. All you need is the Word of God says, faith as small as a mustard seed. And a mustard seed is tiny, tiny.
Mm-hmm.
So your faith is still there. It's that when you couple that with unbelief, you can do nothing. Your power goes. Because without faith, the Word says, it is impossible to please the Lord. Our walk is by faith, not by sight, not by the five senses. Because the minute you bring in your five senses into the picture, you nullify and paralyze your faith. And then nothing happens. Nothing happens. But when you know who you are and you don't allow unbelief to come in, boy, you tell that mountain to move and it will move.
It will. Amen.
It will move. It has to move. Remember when the Lord Jesus cursed the fig tree? Because it had no fruit. He cursed it. The second the Lord Jesus cursed that fig tree,
it died.
You know why? Because it began at the root. You couldn't see it. Because it was under the dirt. But the next day, right, that tree was totally burnt. But it began the second you speak it out, the Word is working. But Satan tries to deceive you by saying, your words mean nothing. Your words are powerless. And that's when you need to exercise your authority and say, no, they're not. My words have power because they come from Christ. The Word became flesh. The Word is the Lord Jesus. Amen? So we have authority. We have power. We have to begin to use it. Use it more and more. Because the days are pretty dark out there. We need to begin to use the power and the authority that God has given us. Amen? So as the writer says, I pray that you will take this, and I'm saying it too, that you will take this and meditate on these verses. Meditate on this lesson. And God will give you the revelation, because that's my prayer, that you get a revelation of the Word, of this lesson, that you really do have the authority of a believer, the authority of Christ. And when you get that revelation, guess what? Satan will tremble in front of you.
That's it.
We shouldn't be trembling in front of Satan. No. Because you're the one that God has given power to. He's given you a God-given power and authority. And the Word of God says in James 4:7, If we submit to God and we resist the devil, then he will flee from you. Amen? And we need to resist the devil because he needs to go.
Yep.
He needs to go. He's not welcome in our homes.
Nope.
He's not welcome in our minds. He's not welcome around our families. He needs to go in the name of Jesus. He's a defeated foe. And you got to remind him, you know what, Satan? You're a defeated foe. Get out. I command you to leave right now in the name of Jesus. You got to use the word. Got to use the word. But the word of God, James 4, 7, you submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Because he's afraid of you. When he sees you, he sees you. He sees Christ. He sees that you've been marked, you've been separated, consecrated for the work of the Lord. Amen? I'm telling you. I pray that you will receive that revelation. Amen? Let's go to the questions. You read Genesis 3:1, right?
Yes.
And it's right here. You have the questions, right? It's right in your lesson. Mm-hmm. Because we spoke about the serpent. And Genesis 3:1 says, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden. Right? Question number one. Satan does exist, but his real power exists in his ability to deceive us. What did the serpent, the devil, try to get Eve to question?
God's authority.
Exactly. And that's what, you know, and that's what he tries to do with us, right? Are you really a daughter of God? A son of God? Look what you did yesterday. Look what you did in the past. And he tries to remind you of who you were. But you're not that person anymore. Right? 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, you are a new creature in Christ Jesus. The old has passed. Behold, the new is here. You have a born-again spirit. You're no longer your past. But he tries to deceive you with that. So yes, so the serpent or the enemy, right, tried to get Eve to question the word of God.
Mm-hmm.
The word of God.
Yeah.
Because he says, has God indeed said, you shall not eat, you know? No. He tries to deceive. Question number two, why do you think Satan used deception?
But that's all he can do, to deceive us. That's the only thing he can do is try to deceive us.
He has no other power.
Mm-hmm. No?
Yep, he could not make them disobey by force.
Yeah.
He had to deceive them. Huh?
Mm-hmm. No, I thought Rosie said something and I didn't get it.
Oh, I just had to doubt God.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Deception.
In order for them to give up their authority, he had to come in and deceive them.
Right.
And they did. They fell. They gave it up. Genesis 1:26 here. Let's read both here on the side. And God said, let us make men in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful, and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moves upon the earth. So, who gave man his authority?
God demands it. Dominion over.
Amen. I'm going to read the next question. I'm going to go to New King James. Psalm 8, 4-8. I'm going to go there. Psalm 8, 4-8. What is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you visit him? For you have made him a little lower than the angels, and you have crowned him with glory and honor. You have made him to have dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under his feet. All sheep and oxen, even the beasts of the field, the birds of the air, and the fish of the sea, the pass through the path of the seas. So it's basically saying the same thing we just read in Genesis 1:28. So how did God create man?
His own image.
Here I have, he created a man with dominion over the works of his hands. That's how he created man.
A little lower than the angels, he crowned him with glory and honor.
Yeah.
Dominion over the works, yes.
I think verse 6, right? Verse 6, you have made him to have dominion over the works of your hands.
Amen.
So God gave man the power and authority over everything he created, really? Like over the work of God's hands. Gave him a lot. That's a lot of power and authority to have. But God's given us that power today. Let's read 2 Corinthians 4:4. And it says, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. So the question is, what does this scripture indicate happened?
Blinded the minds of them which believe not.
Right, because Satan, the scripture says that Satan is the god of this world. Small g. Okay? And he's the one that is blinding the minds of people.
Unbelievers.
The unbelievers.
Otherwise, the glory of God will shine, and they would see it and know that they're being deceived or, you know, used by him.
Yeah, the people, some people choose not to believe.
Right, they want to be wrong.
You know? So what this scripture is indicating is that Satan took man's authority and became the god of this world. And he fooled a lot of people. And he's still fooling people. Even Christians. Because Christians don't know the authority they have in Christ. Many of them don't. Let's read the book of Matthew 4:8-9. Let's see what it says. It says, again, the devil took him. It's talking about when the Lord Jesus was tempted. Again, the devil took him up on an exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, all these things I will give you if you will fall down and worship me. Let's see. This question, this, do these verses strengthen this point? What? Is he talking? Are they referring to the question before? Yep. I think there is referring to the question before. But it's just saying, it's talking about Satan and about when Satan took authority over man, right? And became the God of this world. So now, it's asking, do these verses strengthen this point? I'm thinking it's referencing to the question before.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Satan wants us to have power.
And wanted the Lord Jesus to fall on this. But, you know, we read in verse 10, right? The Lord's response, right? Jesus said to him, away with you, Satan, for it is written. Again, he's using the word. You shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve.
I just find it so funny that the devil saved Jesus. I already have this. You're getting something I already own. It's like he's very bold, isn't he? I'm like, really?
He does it with us.
I guess we have to think of Jesus in man form, not as Christ. You know,
exactly.
So we have to think of him in man form. The devil will tempt you and tell you who's giving you things when you really, you have a daughter. You can go, no, you don't need that. I don't need you to give me this. But yeah, I just laugh when I read these big pictures. I'm like, ooh.
No, that it makes sense, right?
Yeah.
I mean, again, Satan, all he does, he tries, right?
Yeah.
But we have to come with the word. Got to come with the word. We read the scripture before, Matthew 28:18, right? Says here, after the Lord's death and resurrection, who now has all authority in heaven and in earth after his resurrection?
Jesus.
Exactly. The word says, because the word of God says in Matthew 28:28, and Jesus came and spoke to them, all authority has been given to me, talking about himself, in heaven and on earth. So yes, the Lord Jesus has all authority. And then the next verse says, the next question, to whom has authority been delegated to according to this verse?
Us. In verse 19.
Us. Yes, to follow Jesus.
The believer. The believer. That's right. That's right. Go therefore and make disciples. You know, disciples make disciples. Unbelievers don't make disciples. Believers make disciples.
Amen.
Amen. Right now, taking this class, these are discipleship lessons. We are making disciples of each other.
Yeah.
Amen. Yeah. We are getting strong as being Christ followers. That's what a disciple is. It's a Christ follower. And these are discipleship classes to make you strong in the Word of God, to make yourself known of who you are in Christ. Yeah. And so you will know how God sees you. Amen?
Yeah.
You are a disciple of Christ. Ephesians 1:19. I'm going to go there with my Bible. This is a great, I love these verses. Ephesians 1:19, it says, "And what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power?" So the exceeding greatness of God's power is toward whom?
Those who believe in him.
Exactly. Believers. We have the power. We have authority. We have dominion.
Amen.
Our identity is in Christ, is not in our past. We're no longer called sinners. We are saints.
Amen.
Amen. And yes, we can walk in holiness, because the word tells us, and that is, it doesn't say that you're gonna, that you are God, because God is holy, right? But when you walk in holiness, it is holiness through Christ Jesus. In other words, you can walk every day now pleasing the Lord.
Amen.
By being a disciple of Christ, by exercising your authority, power, and dominion,
amen,
you are walking in holiness. You're walking in the same power that Christ Jesus walked on this earth.
Hallelujah.
The word of God says, "Greater works than these you will do in my name." You will cast out demons. You will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover in the name of Jesus. That's the word. That's the authority that we have. That's the power we have. That's the dominion we have. And everything comes through Christ Jesus. Because it's his power, right, that is working through us. And I wish I had that scripture. That is, I know it's in Ephesians, right? When it talks about the power of God that is working through us, right? It is his power, but we got to work it. Because the power works through us, through our vessel. So God needs us. He needs his children to work his works, to do his works, to be his hands and feet and mouth. He needs us to continue the ministry that he began over 2,000 years ago. That's why we're the church, because God needs us. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Any questions, suggestions? Comment?
No, I like the story, though.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Makes sense.
No, I still think about what she said about Satan. Jesus.
About what?
Yeah, like, really?
What happened?
Yeah, let me show you the world. I can give you this.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God.
How are you going to give me what I already have?
Yep.
Yeah. It's like he has the audacity, like.
Well, you know, but that's what he does to us, to see where we're at. Same, you know. Because he doesn't know, so, you know, he's looking at Jesus, and, you know, okay, but you're a man. You say you have all this power, but you're a man. Well, now he's checking him out and trying to figure out, you know, and making him doubt.
That's right.
Exactly.
And remember, he's small. Like, he's very afraid of us.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, what does the Bible say, you know, that God, you know, he's sitting and laughing at him, because when we see him, when we actually see him, we're going to see him like this.
Yep.
The enemy. You know? And we're going to say, and that's the one.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yep. Yeah. Well, I'm going to end with this verse, okay? Ephesians 3:20, which is a great verse, right? It says, now to him, meaning God, the Lord, who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. So you see, that power we have has to work through us. So it's not our power, it's Christ's power working within us. Amen?
Amen?
This is such a great scripture right here.
Yeah.
And God can do it. He's doing it. He's doing the exceeding. He's done the abundantly. He's already done it. And there's so much more he wants to do through us. Through the power that's working through us. Amen?
Amen.
Oh.